Welcome to Deconstructed. I'm TJ O'Hara, the principal political analyst for IVN. Our goal on Deconstructed is to break down important political issues with outstanding guests, so you can develop your own more informed perspective. My guest today is Joe Trippi, a longtime Democratic strategist who has worked on many presidential, gubernatorial, and United States House and Senate campaigns. Mr. Trippi has also been a political commentator for a variety of news networks, including CBS Evening News, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and NBC. He currently hosts a podcast called That Trippi Show, and is the author of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, Democracy, the Internet, and the Overthrow of Everything. As a testament to his unique political perspective, he most recently became a member of the Lincoln Project. Mr. Trippi is here today to answer questions about our nation's current challenges and the administration's and the Democratic Party's positions on them as well. Welcome to Deconstructed, Joe.
Great to be with you, TJ.
I'm always excited to have you on the show because you've been a refreshingly thoughtful political commentator. You've never been afraid to say what you believe, but you also listen to differing opinions and respond thoughtfully. So let's do that today, with you sharing your perspectives of liberal positions and me asking the types of questions that many independents have on their minds. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely.
Let's start with 2022. It's a huge year because it's midterms, and the Democrats enjoyed significant success in 2020. How do you think the midterms will unfold?
I think the problem, and I've said this, the great tragedy or mistake that we could all make right now is to continue to see 2022 and even 2024 as a fight between right versus left or Republicans versus Democrats. And I think the Democratic Party, and there are plenty of candidates in Washington, the Democratic Party, that may be making that mistake. I hope they don't. I really believe that the 2022 election, democracy itself is on the ballot. And by the way, that's sort of why I joined the Lincoln Project, because I thought it was important that Republicans, independents, and Democrats put whatever political policy differences we might have, because I see 2022 as a pretty strong anti-democracy movement fueled by Donald Trump, but also enabled by too many in the party, in Congress and the Senate, versus everybody who wants to see the great American experiment join a pro-democracy coalition to win in 2022 and 2024. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form the country could withstand four more years of Donald Trump being president. And frankly, I don't see after January 6th and the 139 members of the House in the GOP voting to not certify the election. If they have the majority of Congress in 2022, I don't see how anybody could expect them to do anything but certify the loser. I actually think if they take the House in 2022, you can count on Donald Trump running again in 2024 because he knows he can't lose. He will have a House that will certify him and no one else.
You bring up January 6th. From an independent perspective, it gets proselytized. Insurrection word is thrown out and so forth. And you've mentioned democracy at risk, and that's been a common theme. Is that going to be leveraged? Is the former president a real concern of the Democratic Party, or is he just a voodoo doll that they like to stick pins in to hurt other Republican candidates?
Well, I think that's the way a lot of people look at it, because that's how we've grown up, right? There were two parties. You're supposed to reach across party lines, try to find common ground, get some things done. That's not the Republican Party anymore. That party's gone. It doesn't exist. And like I said, if you look at the 139 who voted to not certify the election, that's dwindled down to two, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but continue to not go along with the authoritarian movement that's taken over that party. This is the whole thing. I don't see how in a fight that one party that no longer believes in the democracy, and in fact is putting up every barrier it can to sustain power by almost any means, including violence on January 6th. I don't see how you can be neutral or an independent in that fight. For me, I love and respect people who are independent of both parties, but that again is the mistake of seeing one party is right, one party is left, ideological and policy differences. They no longer exist. Right. You have a party that says it's not going to have a platform. Its platform was Donald Trump, whatever he said. You have a party now where Mitch McConnell says they're not going to put any proposals or policies forward till after November 2022. This is not that old fight that we've been in over and over again. And by the way, in that fight, I've always thought that true independence were key to hold both parties trying to pull those folks in to win. I've also thought, you know, hey, after the Dean campaign, and that's why I said the revolution won't be televised. I meant that there was a chance, I think, because of the internet, because of our ability to communicate and grow things together, that there could be a true independent campaign for president or another party that would form because of that. I think that's all still possible in the future. I just think the Republican Party, as it's now constructed, intends to then change more of the rules, more of the laws out there as they're doing in state after state to stay in power and keep power. The policy differences that independents, Democrats, Republicans might have, they won't exist anymore. We won't be in a democracy anymore. And that's what I think is on the ballot in 2022.
I will tell you from an independent standpoint, at least this independent standpoint, one of the challenges is understanding the difference between obstructionist Republicans and the resistance. Because it was difficult for an independent to see any real difference. We saw a complete resistance to anything that Republicans were trying to accomplish, and that was okay within the context of the Democratic Party, but it's not okay when the Republicans demonstrate as infinitely ignorant a position where everything's 100% vote now. Like you said, nobody discusses the issues. And that's a real concern to the independents, but difficult for us to distinguish between the parties.
Well, I would put one big distinction. You look at poll after poll that has a very large number of members of the Republican Party as it's currently constructed, who now say violence may be necessary if the ballot box fails. Violence may be necessary to seize power. Yeah, look, you'll get a small number of progressives or Democrats who say that. But nothing, I mean, in some polls, it's up to 55% of the party. And I don't think it's that high. But what I'm saying is, if it's 20% of the party, and by the way, again, for those who say, oh, don't be ridiculous, I refer you to January 6th. That number has grown since January 6th. It's not going down, it's going up. And so the way democracy dies is everybody says, yeah, but until you wake up one day and realize when you wake up, it's too late and there's nothing you can do about it. They've already seized it.
Joe, I guess, again, from an independent standpoint, it's difficult to make that distinction. Insurrection, the definition, is an act or an instance of revolting against civil authority or an established government. And I completely agree with you that the Republicans have gone overboard with saying, hey, we may need to resort to violence if the vote doesn't go our way and so forth. But you have to compare and contrast that. We had 574 riots in the prior year, and there was looting, vandalism, arson, assault, murder. You had a then senator and vice presidential candidate who was saying, hey, we need to fund the ability to get these people out of jail because it may take violence to move things forward. The narrative just shifts. It's equally ignorant, like I said, and at least from an independent perspective. Why is one side right when they say something like that and one side's wrong? To an independent, it looks like both sides are wrong.
Well, I don't think any which party is trying to put up barriers to voting. I think there's only one that's doing that pretty consistently across the board in state after state. There's only one party where the leader of the party continues to say that the last election was stolen when there's been no evidence of that. I'm not saying there hasn't been violence. I mean, first of all, there should be no violence in politics, and we should, you know, that's not what Martin Luther King was about, and it's not what I'm about. But I think right now there's only one clear threat to the democracy, and it's the Republican Party, which is now totally in the thrall of Donald Trump and no one else, unless you want to be a Trump wannabe, and they all seem to want to do that, because in an authoritarian party, power does not come from merit or ideas. It comes from proximity to dear leader. And there's only one party that has a dear leader, and that's the Republican Party right now. If you're an independent, I would strongly urge people consider the prospect that if that party, the Republican Party, takes the House, gains the Senate and the presidency in 2024, what your prospects as an independent movement might be. I don't think they'll be very good. That's just my prediction, but I am afraid that I'm right.
Well, Joe, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about your political insights when we come back. Welcome back. Our guest is Joe Trippi, a renowned Democratic strategist and the host of That Trippi Show. Joe, when we left off, we were beginning to talk about voting rights. How do you feel about the voter reform bill in Georgia? I've heard the opposite side, compare and contrast it to Delaware's existing law. Where do you think the reality is when it comes to voting rights?
I think that there needs to be a floor, at least, with which there are some standards that are clear to voters. You know, like where now you have the judge in Wisconsin, I think it was, who said drop-off boxes are not allowed. I mean, period, not one. You have other states where there's one box per county, where a state may have a county with 200 voters has one drop-off box for voters to drop their ballots off at. Or a county the size of Houston, Texas, gets one drop-off box. I mean, a lot of these, not all, but a lot of the laws that are being constructed in these states are clearly designed to limit the ability of people to execute their right to vote, to make it tough, throw hurdles. And my own belief is we should have as few hurdles as possible, have a floor that what states can't go beneath, that they can't limit or throw hurdles beyond that minimum standard. And I hope that that's what comes out of whatever passes as the John Lewis Act or another Voting Rights Act. One of the things I think it's tough right now is with all 50 Republicans in the Senate saying never currently, there's nothing on the floor that we could possibly support or vote for. The votes just aren't there for anything that we're talking about. If something is going to pass, it's certainly not anything that you or I could delineate to your listeners. Hey, here's what it's going to be. And they're all going to be some bipartisan agreement. It's just not clear at all whether there will be anything that you can get agreement on. And that's one of the reasons the filibuster is being talked about as a way to at least try to cobble together a 50 vote plus one majority to pass, like I said, what would be the floor. It won't be any of the aspirational things that a lot of people, not just Democrats, but pro-democracy, pro-voting organizations that are nonprofits that don't have a partisan tilt. Things like making Election Day a national holiday. You know, we could debate that, but I happen to think that would be a good idea. But I don't think there's any chance that that'll get passed, mostly because there are not a single vote in the Republican Party in the Senate for that idea. Not, by the way, not even for let's put it on the floor and debate the idea. If you're an independent and you're thinking about this, that's what, unless there's some incredible independent candidate for president of the United States in 2024 on your ballot for House or the Senate, there's one party. Forget about where you are on whether there should be a national holiday for election. There's a party right now that will filibuster and not let that come to a vote. If they can, if they could stop it, they will. That's all you need to know. That's what the stakes are. That's democracy on the ballot.
Trust me, I understand where you're coming from, having been the leading independent candidate in 2012 for president. I had two parties who were trying to block any rational approach. Let's do a very quick hit on a couple of these things just to find out if you and I were doing this, where you feel it should come out. Registration, same day, should there be a period prior to the actual voting date? Should proof be required? What do you think about registration?
If it were me, we should make registration pretty simple. A lot of states have, whether it's the day you register your car or anything like that, you can register to vote. I think registration should be open to everybody as long as you're a citizen. You know, that's what we want. I think same day registration would be a very good mechanism for independence because, you know, one of the things in same day registration states that I've worked in, a Republican, somebody who's been a Republican all their life or a Democrat all their life can go in that day and say, you know what, I'm an independent or I'm a Democrat. And particularly in primaries, same day registration has given people a lot more freedom to not be locked in one party or the other. I mean, to be able to move freely on election day when they go in to get their ballot. So I don't have a big fear of opening up registration, allowing people to register to vote. Look, on voter ID, I don't have a problem with voter ID. But I think if we're going to do that, where I would come down is, okay, what's the standard? What is the ID that's required? And if it's something like a driver's license that a lot of people do not have, they don't own cars, the government and the state should issue that voter ID. I mean, there should be, here's the standard ID. And if you're going to require it to be a passport or a driver's license or X or Y, there has to be some ability of the state to issue a minimum ID that can be used to register. You're somebody who can register, who can vote. I think where a lot of this, the voter ID stuff goes wrong is a state sets up standards, you know, it requires a driver's license or, you know, whatever. And then there's no solution at all provided for poor folks or people who live in underrepresented communities who do not have that form of ID and then are precluded from voting. That would be wrong. So how do we create a voter ID or a method that before the election happens, you register, you're issued that, this is who you are, you show it, great, wonderful. Proves you're who you are when you vote, that'd be great. That step always just seems to be missing when the Republicans do this. And then, of course, then the Democrats immediately fight that any ID system that doesn't have a mechanism that allows people to get, you know, to gain an ID that would guarantee the right to vote. And then, of course, the Republicans scream, oh, you're against, you want anybody to be able to walk in there and illegal aliens, the whole thing. Yeah. And then you get into your what you've been talking about, TJ, where it's just two sides screaming at each other. And yeah, if you're an independent, you sit there and go, just another reason I want to get rid of both of them. But I just think right now, if you really look at what's going on, I believe, like I said, you know, look, it, part of this is, you know, I do a thought experiment. If Barack Obama in 2016 on election night had declared that Trump stole the election, that he, the sitting president of the United States of America, said Trump stole the election and Hillary Clinton is really the president of the United States, stop the steal. I think a lot of well-meaning Americans having their president say this to them, and then had that president said, go to Capitol Hill and tell them what for and stop them from certifying this thing. And maybe if the people who are chanting, hang Mike Pence, that all happened. It didn't happen with the Democratic Party. We never nominated anybody who did or said those things. And I'd like to think that had he, there would have been some Democrats in the House and Senate that actually would have voted to impeach him, or people like me would have stepped forward and said, no way in hell am I going on with this. Unfortunately, there are like literally two people in the Republican Party. I mean, there were like 9 or 10, I guess, who voted to impeach. They've all been purged or retired. And Adam Kinzinger doesn't have a district. And the only one left that I'm aware of is Liz Cheney. But be an independent and don't worry about the democracy. You know, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a huge mistake. I'm just telling you. I'm with you 4 or 6 years from now. But I think the period we're in right now, the polarization, the amount of disinformation, the lies out there, the former president who is clearly leading. And by the way, those people who are now the growing number who think violence may be necessary, he fuels that every day. He doesn't tell them not to do that. And I dare say, yeah, I'm not talking about some candidate for the House on the Democratic side who hasn't, I'm sure you can find them. But there's not Barack Obama. There's no Hillary Clinton. There's no Joe Biden. There's no leader of the Democratic Party out there basically leading chants and pushing and using rhetoric that sets off people to violence the way Trump does. I mean, and frankly, too many others in the party.
Joe, from an independent perspective, the only thing that we can't lose sight of is, I recall in the 2016 election, it was Russian interference. So that election was stolen. We have Stacey Abrams, who I think could potentially be a presidential candidate down the road who said she was governor and that was stolen. So I think it's unfair to pretend that only one party does it. Now, that being said, Trump takes it to a whole new level, and I'm not going to be the person that's going to defend him. But I'd encourage you to go read the Georgia law, because I've read the entire law, did an entire show on it. And when you were talking about ID, for example, they don't require auto registration. They have a variety of ways that I think you and I would probably look at and find to be reasonable. It's when it's then positioned as Jim Crow 2.0. And you and I, unfortunately, are old enough to both remember the real Jim Crow. I don't think the interjection of racism benefits the intellectual argument at all. So, Joe, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about political insights on your part when we come back. Welcome back. My guest is Joe Trippi, a renowned Democratic strategist and the host of That Trippi Show. Joe, you mentioned the filibuster. Let's talk about the filibuster as it relates to voting rights. I think you set the stage properly in that the reason it's conceived to be needed at this point in time is because they can't get to that 60-vote margin, and it's just a way to prevent debate from ever occurring. And I think that's a fair argument. But how do you view it from a historical perspective?
Look, there's nothing in the Constitution about the filibuster. It's a rule. You know, the fact of the matter is that it's been misused on both sides. So this is the whole part of your argument that I keep saying, I agree with you, TJ, but now if you had two political parties that were actually functioning pro-democracy parties, which if you're in that zone, then you go, yeah, well, I don't understand what all this fuss is about. I think that's the mistake. All of us have come up with the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and gosh, could maybe an independent party get going someday? You know, maybe a third party could come into play that would challenge them. That's the world we've been in. It's the world you've been fighting in and doing the things that matter, including putting yourself on the ballot to do it, that I think has created this moment where it's a grave mistake to continue to think that way. I hope we can get to a place a few years from now where we can go right back to thinking that way. But I don't think that's going to happen in 2022 or 2024. I think these will be the elections that decide. I think the filibuster is another one. It is an authoritarian party. That's what it's become. It's not the party of Reagan or George W. Bush. That party's gone. It's dead. It's buried. Should be buried in Ripon, Wisconsin on March 20th, I think was the day it was born there in the 1800s. No, that party's gone. It's buried. And the party that exists is a party that has and continues to deny. I mean, that's the one thing I would say about what you said earlier about Stacey Abrams and others. Yeah, I mean, I remember it's not like I don't recall anybody rushing to change laws, uproot the system, or impeach the governor of Georgia because he wasn't really elected or any of that stuff. Never happened. There's only one place that's ever happened, and it was with President Trump. It manifested itself on January 6th. By the way, I don't think we are not even at the scratching the surface of what actually happened that day. I think when the American people actually find out, whether it's 3 years from now, 3 months from now, or 20 years from now, they will be stunned at how much of a coup attempt it was. So getting back to the filibuster, you cannot, I think, let voting rights of all things be held hostage by 50 senators who absolutely refuse to even allow debate. I mean, that's what the filibuster does. It means there will not even be a debate on these things you and I are talking about. If you don't think as an independent, there's something wrong with that. And that, you know, and so, yeah, we go, well, both parties have abused the filibuster at times. Yes, that's true. None like this and none on something like voting rights. These, by the way, voting rights, this is stuff that was passed 96-4. A lot of the stuff that is in this voting right was passed Yeah, Mitch McConnell voted for some of this stuff. But no, now we can't even debate it.
Well, I agree. I think the frustration, again, from independents, I look back at 2005 when the Senate was split 50-50. Vice President Cheney, not everybody's most favorite vice president of all time, was the tiebreaker. And then Senator Biden said it was arrogant of the Republicans because they tried to do the exact same thing. He said that his speech was one of the most important for historical purposes that he had given in the 32 years he had been in the Senate, and said it would eviscerate the Senate. And it's not only a bad idea, it upsets the constitutional design and it disservices the country. Now, I get the rhetoric and I get how times have changed, but today we're at a point when it was most recently called by that same then senator, now president of the United States, a relic of Jim Crow. And yet the Democratic Party filibustered 327 times in 2020. So it's difficult to wrap your mind around a reasonable argument of the position. I happen to agree with you. What I'd like to do is there's never any discussion about making a strong enough argument to win 60 votes, because neither side will vote outside of their party. And that's where I think the travesty is in today's day and age. Personal opinion.
Well, I think that when you have a record repeatedly of passing the Voting Rights Act by huge numbers, by the way, again, it was never been a partisan issue until now. And there is no prospect for getting a single Republican right now. I mean, I hope there will, with Romney, with Collins, Murkowski. I mean, there's a few that maybe, but no. And again, McConnell, my goal is to make it one-term president, stop everything Biden's going to do. Great. Wonderful. This is a much different place than we've ever been. And again, I just caution, it's a huge mistake to be locked in the, oh, there's two parties. There isn't. We can pretend that that still exists. It doesn't. And if they win, my view is it will be a long, dark time before anything resembling an independent movement they will squelch it from the word go, including, I mean, any opposition at all, frankly. That's not what Trump and these people are about.
Well, Joe, in the limited amount of time we have left, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and what you're up to and That Trippy Show?
Well, I mean, the podcast comes out every Friday, That Trippy Show. You get it wherever you get this podcast or any other of your favorite podcasts. It's on Spotify, Apple, all those places you can get it. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Trippy, and also became a member of the Lincoln Project and senior advisor because, yes, they're a group of former Republicans, but I felt very strongly that this is about Democrats, former Republicans, hopefully some moderate Republicans, independents, realizing that we have to build a pro-democracy coalition, a coalition that puts our democracy first. We put our differences aside. We put the filibuster and things like that aside. We have different opinions about who abused it and all that stuff. And basically come together in a pro-democracy coalition until the authoritarian wing of the Republican Party has lost and has not won a majority. I think it is a huge mistake to let Jim Jordan become Speaker of the House, which will happen if they win the majority. It's not going to be McCarthy. It's a lack of imagination, because the people who said, well, no, Trump could never get elected in America, guess what? He did. That January 6th could never happen in America. Guess what? It did. That there's an authoritarian movement that actually had a plan to coup the election, change the peaceful transfer of power. That plan is going to be clear to people as the facts come out. And so that's the threat. We either come together in a pro-democracy coalition, and you can follow me, follow the Lincoln Project. There's all kinds of other, you know, the Bulwark, Midas Touch. There's a whole bunch of different flavors, if you will, of people who have been opposed. I went to war with Stuart Stevens for 30 or 40 years. We battled each other in Senate races and governor's races, in which, like, I got done with one where I barely eked it out and swore to myself, God, I hope I never get in a race against this guy again, because it was so brutal. Okay, why would those two people come together? What, because I've lost my mind all of a sudden? No. because I believe the threat is that big, that I can put my differences aside that I've had with Stuart Stevens over the years in those battles and join with him to help build a pro-democracy coalition that crosses party lines and ideology around one thing: preserving our union, our republic, and our democracy. I hope people will think about that and check out the Lincoln Project and follow me at That Trippy Show and on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, Joe Trippy, as always, I've really enjoyed having you on the show. I'd love to talk politics with you because you're always very open and you're knowledgeable. So good luck with your show, the candidates you may be assisting this year, and the Lincoln Group. And Joe, thanks again for joining me on Deconstructed.
Thanks, TJ.